Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and we're fired up. We got the Toronto Stars' own Mark Sobinski, NHL season just starting. The Maple Leafs open up the regular season against Winnipeg, and they're back home for their home opener this Saturday against the New York Rangers. A lot of expectations on the Maple Leafs, even some people saying we're going to win the Stanley Cup or whatever. Now, I'm going to ask you the simplest questions. Do the Maple Leafs sort of go over what they accomplished last year, let's say get to the playoffs and win a round?
Yes, and I think that's the goal here. And a lot of, I guess you wouldn't call them observers and experts, think that this season would be a success if they won one round, because it's something they didn't do last year. A lot of people are very optimistic, as you say, but again, these so-called observers, experts feel that the Leafs, you have to temper that, because you're still looking at Pittsburgh, Tampa as the class of the East here, and trying to get through those teams, Washington as well, has been a tough task, maybe too much of a task for this team. This team has to learn how to win, I guess, by having some frustrating losses. However, there is internally, as there was last year, last year started with just the promise of all these rookies making the team, and it was exciting, but they honestly felt that they had something more than just excitement, that they had a playoff worthy team. They proved that. Now they have in their mindset internally, and they're not trying to bang the drum about it, but it's just something that you talk about as a team to start the season. And what they're talking about is, how good are we? We're good enough to go to the conference final. And I think that may be half fantasy, half realistic. This is something that we talk about at this time of year. And, like we did with baseball, we can press all kinds of buttons and look at all kinds of possibilities, because it's worth talking about. This one, though, has a little bit more substance to it, given the fact that, all those rookies now have a year of experience and have had experience their whole life from junior hockey up, and that counts, playoff experience, that they're poised to take this next step and steps, plural, not just one step. I really think there's an opportunity to go to the conference final. I don't think it's unrealistic. I think it's also a very tall order. I don't think it's wishful thinking. I don't think it's so much fantasy. But right now, at this time of year, we have to look at it in terms of that, because it's a long way away. But given the fact that they're young, they're fresh, that their health is still primed, that they did not, and health is a very big issue, as we know, just ask Tampa. But given all those factors, we're looking at a very, very realistic expectations, just not high expectations.
Now, a lot of people are saying that the Maple Leafs are like Edmonton Oilers of the East. Edmonton got to the playoffs, they won a round, and then they lost. A lot of people are saying now it's time for Edmonton to take the next step, go to the conference final, and maybe even the Stanley Cup finals. So if Edmonton is sort of the Maple Leafs West, are Edmonton ahead of the Maple Leafs right now? And do you expect them to, like people say, go to the conference final and Stanley Cup final?
I'll put a check mark beside all of that. Edmonton has the best player in hockey, and the best player, that mantle, of course, with McDavid, is not something to take lightly. I mean, we called Sidney Crosby the best player in hockey for the last 10 years, justified. He delivered 3 Stanley Cups to Pittsburgh. He delivered winner. He works harder, as they say, than any player in the game. He also understands what it takes to win. But he's surrounded with good players, too, as were the Oilers in the 80s when they won those Cups, as is any team that wins. It's not just one guy. It's a group of players and a group of exceptional players. Edmonton has that. That's why they signed Dreisaitl. And they feel they have the goalie in Talbot, and he did lead the league with starts last year. I think it was 76. And, that's where you start, where you look at a team to see what they're capable of. You go from the goalie, You go up the middle, you're the two defensemen, and then your centers. Edmonton has the goods, they have the toughness, and they're going to need toughness in that West because that they play a much more physical brand of hockey and a fighting brand of hockey than they do in the East. But yes, yes to all those things you mentioned, including a Stanley Cup for Edmonton. I think it's, again, like we were just saying with the Leafs, it's a bit of fantasy right now, but there's an element of reality to it. And I think you really have to look at that. Edmonton is going to be as big to me, if as a hockey fan, not we can just throw out the reporter and all our professional, you know, aspirations here. But if we're hockey fans and serious hockey fans, like we were looking at, you know, the return of a championship team to Canada, if we're following that story, then Edmonton to me is going to be as big a story as the Leafs are this year.
Okay, so Connor McDavid signed a $12 million deal. Jack Eichel signed now a $10 million deal. Where does that leave Austin Matthews? That's the big question.
Well, I think Austin Matthews is going to get as much as Eichel for a base. You know, what does he peg himself at? What does this franchise want to do in the future? And, you know, we've discussed that your sources have said, you know, certain, you know, there's links and potentials for Carlson and for other big names, Doughty player, you know, Doughty players like that, a big time defenseman to come to Toronto. So we saw Eichel say to management that he would accept, you know, and accepting, you know, say accept $10 million. That's crazy because who wouldn't? But, he, you know, the $10 million, let's put it this way, that the $10 million figure would leave some room for them financially to get bring someone else in the future and really push that franchise over the top. So does Matthews adopt that kind of bargaining strategy with the Leafs where he will not bust their bank? And let's face it, it would take a lot more than that to bust their bank. But let's, you know, we're all dealing with a cap. So that's the issue. Not, let's say, not bust the bank, but bust the cap. Or does he leave wiggle room there so that they can land one of these, you know, A-list blue line guys that may come down the pipe next year or the year after, and really push the Leafs into Stanley Cup, like legitimate Stanley Cup contention? Because probably, if you think about it, they're one defenseman away from that right now.
And by the way, that defenseman is not Roman Polak. Just want to throw that
no,
out.
No, definitely not. For Roman, his career is in a sort of a crossroads after that broken leg last spring, and he's still recovering from it. But Matthews is in a unique position, and you know, it depends on him, his family, and his agent decide. I would tend to think that he's going to work something with the Leafs and look at, you know, the future as well as his own future. I think he's going to combine those two in his negotiations. And regardless of that, he is a $10 million a year player. There's no doubt. Does he go higher than that? I'm sure he could hold out and ask for that and get it. But I think he's going to consider the organization as well. McDavid did that as well. And, you know, when he's 12, 12, 3, 12, 6 or whatever he's getting.
Yeah.
But McDavid is in another bracket above these guys. Now, you know, that'll, you know, pan out in terms of points, and Matthews is going to be a top three, top five point getter in this league. And he is going to be, you know, what Ovechkin and Crosby were. I think Matthews and McDavid will be for the future, and it's starting this year.
And here's the problem. If you're a Maple Leaf fan, here's the problem. Sorry, Mark. Matthews makes, okay, $10.5 million. What do you pay Mitch Marner? What do you pay William Nylander? You already got Kadri signed. You got the goalie signed. You got the defenseman signed. If you want to get, you talk about Carlson or Doughty, I'm certainly they're going to get probably 9 or 10 themselves. So where does that leave? If you're going to play your top-end guys, top four, five guys, you're talking about 25 more guys for 25 more million only.
Exactly, and this puts you in a Chicago Blackhawks situation where you pay your top guys, Kane and Taves, huge money, and then you have to either deal away, you know, some of your star players for cheaper prospects, guys who can play. That is something, again, you know, that's just what Eichel's done with Buffalo. He's sort of got his, you know, he's got the, you know, the big money, but he's also left some wiggle room. This is what the Leafs are obviously going to ask their top players and ask Matthews to start. Two things here, though, like, one, you lock these guys up now. You lock them up when they're young, because not only are you buying their future, you're buying their health. And their health is never going to be better than it is when they're 20. It's going to change when they're 25. It's going to change when they're 27. So you buy it now, and you invest in health as much as you invest in the future, you know, of their skill and their promise. But two, as we see with the Leafs this year, the depth is there. Now, everybody's talking about if they get injured, you know, say Nylander goes down, well, you can bring up any number of forwards from the Marlies right now, and you shouldn't miss a beat. Now, given that, we have to look at that depth in terms of signing these big players, because you can build around these players and then add Kapanen, Sashnikov, whoever you want to talk about with the Marlies right now, for cheap rates. You know, you can keep these guys, Hyman, Brown, under $3 million, under $2 million at $1.5 a year, and turn those players over via trades, via whatever, and drafts, and building, you know, this stockpile of talent so that you can pay your top players big dollars and have a solid supporting cast behind them, but that supporting cast being affordable. This is what the Blackhawks have managed to do. You know, just think if they, you know, when they won the Cup, one was it in 10 or 11, if they would have kept that team together when they had Dustin Bufflin, yeah. They would have won four or five Cups in a row, probably. I if you kept that, go back and look at that roster, two or three anyway, they would have won more than one for sure in a row. And this is the thing that the Leafs are looking at. If they get to that championship level, which they think they're going to be at, then it becomes, as you say, which is an excellent question, how do you manage it financially? So what you do is, you know, you do what the Blackhawks have done. You invest in your preeminent marquee players, and you make them brand them with the Leaf brand, and that's your brand in Toronto. The rest of it is interchangeable, as are the salaries, and you can make that work under the cap. Cap 75, it'll probably go up a wee bit more over the next couple of years. I think that's a projection through the life of the CBA, that it does keep going up, you know, incrementally, marginally every year. But you have these assets that are not only good to fill in for injuries this year, but are good for future in terms of managing your cap if you have to pay these, you know, marquee players the huge money.
With the Toronto Stars own Mark Cilinski. Now, I'm going to ask you what I usually ask you every year at this time. Put on your thinking cap here. Give me the top playoff teams in the East, top playoff teams in the West, and which team made the most splash during the summertime? Is it Montreal got Jonathan Drouin? He's going to play center instead of left wing. Is it the start of a new team in the NHL, Las Vegas? And let's say something to the people of Las Vegas that was very horrific a Monday. I don't know what to say about this world, what it's coming to, but let's see everybody in Las Vegas, a great story with the, you know, the nights there and stuff like that. So my condolences go out to everybody in Las Vegas, but give me your top eight teams in the East, top eight teams in the West.
Okay. Top eight teams East. Okay. Well, what we were just talking about, Leafs, want to see Montreal in there, Boston, that's three, Tampa, Washington, five.
Pittsburgh.
Where can we, yeah, we're forgetting Pittsburgh, of course. I've got a, gosh, I'm not sure what I want to do with Columbus, but I do want to put them in there because I think they're strong enough. And I want to look at the Flyers as a potential dark horse here, or at least one to come back into the playoffs here and at least, you know, get back in the playoffs. West, I want to say my team that should have, like, you've heard me discuss this before, but I think Anaheim should have won the Cup last year. I don't know how they didn't. They were just so much stronger and tougher than everybody, and they just could not get by that Cinderella-type thing, Nashville team. So, Anaheim, Edmonton, Nashville. I want to see the Kings, what they're capable of. Minnesota, St. Louis.
Six.
And who are we missing here?
Chicago, even.
There we go. Well, yeah, you got to – boy, oh, boy, are we forgetting Chicago here, because they went out in four games to Nashville, which was a total shocker. But, yes, let's I should have put Chicago up there. I can't count to eight, Joey. That's my problem.
you forgot San Jose also. But
Well, San Jose is going to be an interesting thing. But, yeah, you got to look at them, even without Marlo. And when you mentioned Vegas, yeah, by all means, our prayers, you know, certainly our prayers. Well, I'll say prayer for that and continue to do so as that community recovers from what we know is beyond words event that and sadness there. So our prayers are with them for sure.
I know we're NHL sort of Canadian hockey, Canadian base, but do you think anybody in the NHL, you know, we're starting the season, takes the knee for the national anthem? I can't believe I'm asking that, but I have to ask that due to recent events.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, like, I mean, you know, Joel Ward said he would, he's thinking about it. Devontae Smith, Pelle. player in Philadelphia from Scarborough.
Wayne Simmons.
I've spoken to him many times. I drew a brain cramp there. My apologies to him. Our leaders in the NHL, Wayne especially, does not get enough credit for the work he does for kids and for his community here, not only in Toronto but in Philadelphia. He is a true leader and a very respected player in the NHL. Now, they discussed it. They're looking at it. They support, you know, the cause that was started by Colin Kaepernick. And if they take a knee, then you know, it's something obviously that's going to create a lot of discussion and debate. But it is their right, and they're from you know, a position where they can do it. So I, if I see it, I guess what I want to say, I'm not going to be surprised. Every sport, you know, and ever since this became an issue months ago, is now has a platform to comment on social justice, to make an example, to take to try and take the debate forward, to try and create discussion and awareness so that, you know, their causes and what they believe in are addressed properly. And as we know, it's excessive police force in the black community and social justice for minorities of all color and from all backgrounds. In this day and age, we all want that, and we all want to see this world become a better place where everybody's fair and equal and treated the same way. So this, you know, hockey's already received far too much criticism, in my opinion, over the Penguins' decision to go to the White House. And I'll say this very briefly, where people don't want to speak to the president, they think he's this and that. Why not go if you're LeBron James or if you're a preeminent marquee athlete, one of the greatest in the world, and at least talk to the man? How many of us in this world would actually get an audience with the president of the United States? Less than a half percent in this world would actually be able to go and do that. If you're an athlete, now, regardless of what you think of him, regardless of the politics, regardless of all the beliefs in that, here's a chance to go talk to one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful person in the world, and talk about police brutality. And Trump is a guy who supports police. He's said that many times. But I also think he's a man who would listen. Why not go there and at least ask for an audience with him to express your views? I mean, this whole thing is about, you know, it's divisive and there's hatred in it. to me, I think the only way you can get by that and improve on that is discussion, even with the people you, as in Trump, the people you dislike the most. I don't know. That's just a viewpoint of mine, for what it's worth.
Let me ask you this. It's totally not hockey related, but you make up a great point. That's a great, great point. Now, if you had the pleasure of going through the White House and all that, what would you ask him? Like, give me two questions that you would ask Donald Trump.
Well, the one question would be, I'd ask him about this issue, about excessive force against minority communities. And I'd say, you support the police, and I'm not saying not to. I think the police do a tremendous job and we're all fortunate to live in a society that's free and that freedom is protected by the military and by the police. However, there is an issue about excessive force, and it's the basic premise that, you can use force, if somebody doesn't, listen to you as a police officer. I mean, that whole thing is debatable. Why not educate the police a little bit more? Why not at least talk about that issue of the use of force and deadly force? Would that not help? This is a discussion that could take so much longer. There's so much issues that we couldn't cover. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be one question I would love to hear his viewpoint on. And it would be a situation that hopefully would spark some debate. Now, I'm not someone who's even remotely important enough that he would meet with. So and that's not even worth discussing. We're just discussing the question we would ask. But that would be one. And the other one, this would be a throwaway one. I say, why are you on Twitter so much? Just saying your viewpoints, and I know he wants to get his viewpoint out there on Twitter, but to me it's just, oh my goodness, every day it's something, and it just drives people crazy. I would just like to ask him to be a little bit quieter, be a little bit more humble, a little bit more, shall we say, presidential, and not get involved in stuff. Let his actions speak louder than his words on Twitter.
You know why he's on Twitter a lot? There's nothing to do in the washroom. Anyway, let's close out with this. I asked you your picks for East and West. I got to ask you two final questions with the Toronto Star Zone, Mark Selinsky. Who wins the Stanley Cup, or give me your Stanley Cup matchup, and what's the two or three stories to look out for during the season?
Okay, Stanley Cup matchup, Anaheim Leafs. I'm going to go out there.
Anaheim Leafs.
Leafs. Yeah.
I got to hear that again. I heard the Maple Leafs. You're saying the Maple Leafs are going to make the Stanley Cup for the first time in 51 years.
Yes, we're going to go out there on a limb because this is the time of year to do it, Joey, and it's fun, and we can talk about it all year. And at the end of the year, when it doesn't happen, or if it doesn't happen, you can come back at me the way you came back at me with the Colorado Rockies in baseball. But let's have fun with it, right? I mean, that's what we're here for. Anaheim's my pick to win the Cup. Like I said before, I think they should have won it last year. I think they're just a nasty, physical, all-around great team with established guys who really, really know how to win and will do the things that no other team will to win. Three storylines. I mean, Leafs are going to be one for sure. I think they're going to be the biggest one, because we're in this market. But I think that, what they've done and what the type of model, the paradigm that they're building behind the youth is something that's going to be watched. I think the New Jersey Devils are going to be something as well. I really like where they've gone with their picks. And they're, again, going to be an interesting sort of sleeper team to watch. And third, I guess, is going to be how impactful the new rules are, face-off and slashing. And does, in particular, the slashing rule really open up offense and allow players to be not only more protected, but to take more chances in corners, to be more creative, and so that, by virtue of not getting hacked all the time in the hands, does that really open up more offense, more creativity? And Austin Matthews was saying that in training camp when those rule changes were, when the game started and they start, you know, calling the penalties on the slashing and the faceoffs. But he said in particular to slashing that, yeah, it should help him as a player and should help the Leafs as a team based on what we're just talking about. So those are three storylines that off the top of my head, you know, here that would be worth looking at.
I know one question that Donald Trump would ask you. Did you really pick the Maple Leafs to make the Stanley Cup Finals? That's what he'll ask you, and if you say yes, you know what he'll say to you. You're fired. Anyway, that's the Toronto Star's own Mark Sorrenti. You can hear and you can read Mark in the Toronto Star every day. Mark's one of the greatest journalists in Toronto, forget about in Canada, in the world. This is according to Donald Trump. All right, thanks a lot, Mark.
Well, we all know what fake news is, buddy, but thanks
for
having me.
No, I'm not going to fake news. That's fake news when you're making the Stanley Cup. If I hear anything, that has to be fake news.
Okay, if they do it, Joey, we're going to have to...
All right, if they do it, I'll get Norm to give you the Canadian Carrier money, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Lots of fun. Lots of fun, Joey, and that's what this is all about. Thanks for having me. All the best to you and your listeners.